And now, it's time for Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. For the next 2 hours, join Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Maxa, and this week's special expert guest for fishing information, new techniques to catch more fish, and the most current scoop on what's happening in the water. Let's Talk Hookup is sponsored in part by Yamaha Outboards. Reliability starts here. Hotels Palmas de Cortez, Punta Colorada, and Playa del Sol in Baja's East Cape. By Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup, and Shimano Rods and Reels. Fish with the best. Shimano. Get ready for the fastest 2 hours on radio with the hosts of Let's Talk Hookup, Pete Gray and Rock Cod Rick Maxa on XX 1090.
Good morning, anglers, and welcome to Let's Talk Hookup. I'm Pete Gray with Rock Cod Rick Maxa. We're in the XX studios with surf fishing expert, the guy that wrote the book, Mr. Bill Varney. We're going to have a great time talking surf fishing. Hey, and it's biting offshore. We're going to get some great reports from offshore, find out how good that tuna, yellowtail, and Dorado fishing is getting here locally. You stay tuned. Southern California sport fishing voice, Let's Talk Hookup, XX 1090.
If you love to cast surface iron and other jigs, plus fish the Shimano Waxwing, there has never been a reel that was made for the job until now. Shimano is proud to introduce Trank, the dream reel for casting and retrieving lures. Smoothness, castability, and powerful gears. Trank has it all, plus the Shimano X-Ship feature for superior smoothness, increased power, and phenomenal gear life. Match all this up with 25 pounds of max drag and the game is over. Trank has a low-profile design for ergonomic comfort and the variable brake system. Super free spool and level wind will allow you more consistent casting. Unbelievable distance and line management. No more line piling up on one side on your retrieve. Tranks can actually make a better jig fisherman out of you. Stop by your local Shimano dealer to see it for yourself. Tranks, it's not just a new reel, it's a way to fish. Experience Tranks on a Let's Talk Hookup on the Water seminar or the next casting contest.
Now there is one place to make planning your Baja East Cape fishing vacation easy. It's VanWormerResorts.com, the new website for Palmas de Cortez, Punta Colorada, Playa del Sol, and Villa de Cortez. For decades, the Van Wormer family has offered old world Baja hospitality with all the modern amenities, plus some of the best fishing on the planet aboard the largest fishing fleet in Mexico. Now you can plan your Van Wormer Resorts vacation quick and easy at VanWormerResorts.com. Check out all the boats in the fleet. Get details on the captain's and crew, as well as the cost and availability. At VanWormerResorts.com, check out their rooms at Palmas de Cortez, Punta Colorada, Playa del Sol, and the Villas de Cortez. And even take a virtual tour. See the new restaurants and menus. Take a tour of the golf course and more. When you're ready to book your Baja vacation, choose your room online and call 877-777-TUNA. That's 877-777-TUNA.
Every summer, there are certain things our listeners love to talk about. Heading to the High Sierra for a little trout fishing, taking long-range trips to hook up some tuna, barbecues, and the Ford Summer Sales Event. Every year about this time, your San Diego County Ford dealers pull out all the stops. Now is the time to get some of the biggest rebates and lowest finance rates of the year on fuel-efficient Escapes, Fusions, and F-150 pickup, like the one I drive. A lot of people I know prefer to lease their cars. They like to keep their payments low so they can spend more on boats, trailers, and tackle. If you're one of those folks, you'll be amazed at how affordable your payments can be on a new Ford Focus, Fiesta, or Fusion. Speaking of Fusion, your Ford dealers have a lot of hybrid models in stock. If you do a lot of city driving, a Fusion Hybrid will save you a ton of money on gas. Whatever you need, your Ford dealers have you covered. So before you head up north or offshore, take a fuel-efficient Ford out for a spin during the annual summer sales event. Going on now at your San Diego County Ford dealers, they'll be glad to hook you up.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup on XX 1090. We've got a very fun, very interesting show today, Pete.
Indeed. Our good buddy, Mr. Bill Varney, the guy that wrote the book, you've probably heard him here before. You've probably seen him at the Fred Hall shows doing seminars and various other locations throughout Southern California talking surf fishing. Good morning, Bill.
Hey, Bill. Thank you. Great to be here.
Yeah, great to have you here. Okay, so when we saw, say you wrote the book, you're actually in, is it second or third edition of Fishing the Surf?
I'm on my second edition. About a year and a half ago, I added about 80 pages to the book and made it a little bit more, gave away a few more secrets. So,
wow. Very nice. So what is it about surf? How, I know you've probably surf fished in a lot of different locales in the United States. How would you rate the surf fishing here in Southern California comparatively to other places in the world?
You know, I really have been all over the world to surf fish. I've been in Brazil. I've surf fished in Italy, New York, all over California, Canada, Mexico. But surf fishing in Southern California is probably one of the best places in the world. We have a fantastic variety of fish that are available here, and we're really blessed to be here. You know, it's like when we talk about the long-range fleet and the fleet out of San Diego going down into Mexico. And if you look around the world, you'll find that some of the greatest fishing is right here in Southern California, you know, between here and maybe Cabo San Lucas.
So oh, yeah. No
some,
doubt about
some
it.
Some great fishing.
Yeah, when people fly all the way from China and Japan to go fishing here in Southern California, you know it's...
There's a reason.
It's a reason. It's good fishing.
Absolutely.
For sure. We're very lucky. But the surf, probably one of the most underlooked fisheries in Southern California, would you say?
I think it really is.
I think
if you look back maybe 20 years ago, Rick, or even before that, the art of surf fishing was pretty much lost at that point. The equipment was different then, and a lot of people found other interests. So over the last 20 years, I think this light line surf fishing has really caught on. People are excited about it, and we love to get down there.
So, yeah, okay, so let's differentiate. Light line surf fishing, you see, some people relate surf fishing with those big long rods, guys sticking the rods in the rod holders in the sand and casting way out. That's not what you're doing.
Exactly. We kind of do the opposite of that. We go to a light line technique. It's very much like trout fishing in a lake. We use a 7 to 9 foot rod, and we match that up with about a 2 or 3,000 series spinning reel. So that's a reel that holds about 200 to 300 yards, a 6 pound test. And we load that up with 6 pound test, and we fish very light line, very light equipment, and we move around on the beach. We don't use a sand spike, and that's how we find our fish.
So when you're saying 6 pound test, are you utilizing lines like Power Pro with a mono top shot, or are you going straight monofilament?
I'm going straight monofilament. You know, we did a lot of testing with braided lines versus monofilament, and what we found in the surf is that, you know, because there's such a surge in the surf, whether that's a surge out when the water's being sucked out or being pushed in, we need to have flexibility in the line, and especially when you get those bigger fish in close. If that water is pulling out and there's no flexibility, you're going to pull the hook on that fish. So we've really stayed with monofilament. It doesn't mean that there's not a place for braid. There certainly mm-hmm. is in certain applications, but mostly mono.
Mostly mono. All right. What about fluorocarbon?
Oh, fluorocarbon is important, and I'll tell you a couple reasons why. One is theoretically we're told it's invisible, and I say that in quotes because I guess it is. That's what we're told in it, and I think it
that's
is.
That's what the fish tell us. Right?
That's what the fish tell us. That's right. They have bad eyesight. But I think other than that, the most important thing about the fluorocarbon is it's abrasion resistant. And many times in surf fishing, if you're rubbing up against rocks or you catch a lot of fish or you're in an area where it's going to be rubbing against something, because it's a braided monofilament, it's much stronger than straight mono. And so we'll always use a 6 pound fluorocarbon leader.
Okay. Oh, okay. And how much?
In length?
Yeah.
Normally we'll use somewhere between 12 and maybe 28 inches.
Pretty short.
Pretty short, but the rule on the leader would be the larger the surf, the heavier the current, the shorter your leader.
Oh, all right.
And the reason for that is all surf fish feed on the bottom. If you look at a lot of the surf fish like a corbina, they've got a little barbell on their chin, and they run that along the bottom and look for crabs and worms and things like that. So if you've got a long leader, if you've got a 36-inch leader and you've got a fairly strong current, your bait's going to be maybe 3 feet above the bottom, and all the fish are going to be under your bait. Wow. So if you go out and you have a day where you're not catching fish, try shortening down your leader a bit.
Boy, that's a good tip.
Great info. Yeah, totally.
I never would have thought of that. So let's go on a surf fishing trip with Bill Varnay on the beach, the local beach here, whether it be your home beach, Huntington Beach, or right here in Del Mar or San Diego, or even up to Ventura, Santa Barbara. It's kind of similar, right?
Yes, it's very similar. I think some of the differences might be a little bit in the bait, possibly, and then the variety of fish there or the quantity of fish that are there. But, you know, what we'll do is we'll go out and catch bait. That's normally what we do. I normally fish with natural baits. I do use artificial lures, and they certainly work. But I know that all the state records have been caught on natural bait. If you look at every record out there, it's been caught on one. So we'll go out and catch bait.
So when you say catch bait, what are you going to catch?
Well, you know, there's two ways of catching bait. One is you can get in your car, drive down to your local tackle shop and pick it up.
And you pick up what?
Sometimes I'll pick up ghost shrimp. lugworms. I'll get bloodworms if they're available, something along those lines, maybe mussel. And then when we go out and collect bait, we collect the ghost shrimp and the mussel and clams, sand crabs, a number of different baits that we'll use in the surf.
Bill, would you say that you're typically getting bait from the beach that you're going to fish with? Or are you often going to one location because you know there's better bait fishing over there, getting your bait, and then taking that to wherever you're planning on fishing for the day?
That's a great question, Rick. Yes, I normally will go to a different place to find my bait. With sand crabs, for example, oddly enough, in areas where you find giant congregations of them, seem to be very few fish. I'm not quite sure why
really?
That is. You would think the opposite.
Yeah,
would
totally.
Be true. But, you know, in some ways, that's true with bait, too. You know, sardine fishing and anchovy, a lot of times they'll accumulate in areas where you think, wow, there'd be a lot of fish here, but there's really a lot of bait. So, and then other baits, you know, they're in estuaries and inland areas, and we'll get those and then take them to the beach.
Mm-hmm. Wow, okay. And so this time of the year, you're catching sand crabs a lot?
This time of year is a good time for sand crabs. In Southern California, and there are several varieties of sand crabs, but in Southern California, sand crabs come to the surface when the water temperature is about 60 degrees. So we normally find that in about the middle of May, I would say, maybe beginning of June. At that time, when they come to the surface, the fish are just absolutely foraging on sand crabs. It is their favorite bait. You know, it's the Snickers bar
right.
of bait. So they'll come and they'll forage. And then as the summer goes on, you know, they really get tired of eating the same thing. I think just like we do, if we had a steak every night, we would get to a point where we'd want some fish one day. So as the summer goes on, the month of August is a good month to start transitioning into other baits like ghost shrimp.
Oh, okay. So go catch some live ghost shrimp. Go pump some ghost shrimp or buy them at your local tackle store if they're available. And ghost shrimp is the candy right now.
Absolutely. And as we get into the fall, ghost shrimp will really be the food of choice for surf fish.
So, okay, so let's go down to the beach now. We have our bait. How are you going to rig? The surf is mild. Let's say the surf's not big.
Okay, we go down there just on a regular day, a day like today down there. And the first thing we're going to do is, you know, that rod and reel that we have set up, we're going to set up the Carolina rig. We're probably going to use the Carolina rig about 95% of the time. And that rig is made up of a sliding sinker. Normally those sinkers are a quarter ounce to 1 ounce at the heaviest. A bead, and you're always going to use a bead between your swivel and your sinker. You need that as a cushion between those two, and it also keeps the sand from filling up that hole in that sinker and having it bind and breaking that light line. And then I'm going to use a swivel. I'm going to use usually a number 10, a 12, or a 14, which 14 would be the smallest swivel. I'm going to use a black swivel rather than a brass one so it doesn't shine down there. And then I'll use probably 12 to 30-inch leader of 6-pound fluorocarbon, and then I'll tie that to one of two hooks. I'll either use a Gamagatsu split-shot hook, a mosquito owner hook, an octopus-style hook, and I'll use that for crabs and smaller baits, or I'll use a long shank hook like a sprout hook, and I'll use that for worms and other long baits and maybe even the big ghost shrimp.
Like a bait holder style?
Exactly, just like a bait holder. The difference between that and a sprout is a sprout, those who are familiar with freshwater fishing know those for putting their worms on. And the difference between that and a bait holder is there's really no turn in the hook.
Oh, okay. All right.
It's a straight
hook. And a bait holder hook, for those that don't know, have a couple of barbs on the shank, right?
Exactly, to hold your bait on.
All right. Very good. Well, we're going to take a pause in the surf fishing there. Very interesting.
I've
already learned a whole bunch
totally.
Of stuff. But
really
a guy
cool,
who
Bill.
Loves to hang out in the surf in when he's not on the Polaris Supreme, the Riddler, Captain Tommy Rothery's on the line. Good morning, Tommy.
Hey, Tommy.
Hey, good morning. Just sitting here in the wheelhouse watching bluefin boil around the boat.
Wow, that must be nice. So give us a report.
Yeah.
Tell us how good it is.
Well, we're on the sixth day here, so this is my third day of fishing, first day of fishing. We had an absolutely horrible morning here, and just struggling trying to get on something. And that's the first day that big yellowfin showed up. We're calling it 35 to 45 pounds, definitely a 38-pound average or bigger. And we ended up having an absolutely fantastic afternoon the first day on that big gray yellowfin. It's just beautiful. I mean, that's all you heard anybody say all afternoon long. Man, look at the size of these. These are great. Wow, these are awesome. But we ended up having a great day. There was quite a few other guys. There was like eight of us out here looking around fishing, and there was four guys that got on some yellowtail in the morning, and then there was two guys that drifted just, well, Mel just about drifted all day, and Herb, he drifted all day long. They both had just fantastic fishing on good grade yellowtail and yellowfin tuna. You know, we had a great day, but, man, I wanted to be both them that day. And yesterday, our day started out the same. Again, you know, getting the helmet in the morning and then finally got on it around noontime. And we're kind of seeing two bite periods for this big yellowfin. You know, we see, you know, if you're lucky in the morning, you get on a school of something and you can drift with it. You stay with it, 11 o'clock, it just goes off and, you know, you're one of those guys who just have a fantastic, you know, all-day-long bite going on. If not, the bite kind of gets going about 11 o'clock. It goes dead for a little bit. You see a 3 o'clock hit, then you see a 5 o'clock hit, and then it goes dead until dark there. But, again, yesterday, another great day on that big yellowfin tuna. And the bluefin showed up in this area. We think it's the bluefin that was down below here where we're below we're fishing, like 50 miles. So it looks like both areas might be combined here. We think that yellowtail's up close, almost in one-day range, so that's a good deal. And that's about it. You know, just starting off the morning, we just got, I think we got 7 bluefin out of this drift here so far and a couple going, and they're like a 25, 30-pound grade. There is some small ones here, and beautiful weather, and hoping I'm that lucky guy that drifts all day today.
Oh, man.
Wow, Tommy.
That sounds like really good fishing aboard the Polaris Supreme. Now, we should say that we have a 4-day Let's Talk hookup aboard the Polaris Supreme that actually has, I believe there's, you said there were 6 spots available. Is that right?
Yeah. Susan just told me that this morning. You guys got 6 spots left on it, and we have a 3-day leaving Wednesday. That's full. But just to give you an idea, we'll be able to get a day and a half fishing in this area here on that 3-day. So you'll be able to get 2.5 full days of fishing in there on that 4-day, too, on this beautiful great fish. And it's just, you know, we were talking about going down below fish yellowtail at the beginning of the trip and doing all sorts of stuff on a 6-day, but there's just no way you drive away from 25 to 35-pound bluefin and 35 to 45-pound yellowfin. Oh, it's just...
Yeah.
God, that's awesome.
Just awesome fish.
Sounds incredible.
Fish. I can't believe it.
Well, if you want to go on our 4-day trip with Rapala Ryan... And he'll probably bring some Rapalas along to troll around. He'll be hosting the trip, our Let's Talk Hookup trip with Tommy aboard the Polaris Supreme. It's August 21st. I mean, how good is that time period, Tommy?
It's good. It's really good. You know, you got, obviously, we already got all the species here except for albacore, but stuff's just going to get closer and bite better and better here. Just a huge volume of fish. The pin boats are pretty much done, so we're not seeing heavy pressure from the seiners, so that's good. We're digging that, and, you know, the way it's acting, it's definitely our kind of fish here, the way it gets scattered out and stuff. And in the first half of July, towards the end of July, it was helmet trolling, but August here, it's really good trolling. There's been a couple guys, not me, darn it, but a couple guys that have got 100, 150, 200 fish blind jig strike on yellowfin, you know. So blind jig strike, don't even see the school, but that trolling guy saves you and you end up getting 100, 200 fish out of it.
Wow.
That's so rad.
Well, if you want to go on that trip with Ryan, August 21st, only 6 spots left, limited to 24 anglers aboard the great Polaris Supreme with Captain Tommy. How do we get a hold of you, Tommy?
Call us at the office, 619-390-7890 or PolarisSupreme.com. Got some cool stuff up on my website there, too, to check out. So, all right, man. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Tommy.
Thanks, Captain Tommy Rothery aboard the Polaris Supreme. How excited are anglers going long-range fishing right now?
Just fishing in general. You know, you said, some of that fish are certainly in day-and-a-half range, that yellowtail even up in one-day range, and obviously the very good fishing that our local boat's been having. It's that time of year that we wait all. This is what, when we're waiting and fishing sculpin and, you know, doing our thing and we're waiting for this stuff to start happening, this is that time
of
year.
This is that time of the year to get on a boat and go fishing. As you can hear, we have a great show lined up for you today. with Bill Varnay, surf fishing expert, and, of course, we'll have some great reports like we just did from Captain Tommy Roth.
Yeah, going to be a lot of fun today, and we really like to have you be a part of the show. Really fortunate to have somebody like Bill in here in the studio sharing so much information from the surf fishing, just from tackle and technique and gear and where and what and everything else. Bill really, you know, keeps joking that he wrote the book, but he did, man. It's just this guy knows what's going on in the surf. We're really excited to have Bill in here this morning, and we're excited to talk to you this morning. If you want to give us a call and Let's Talk Hookup, the best way right now to get through is with our local line. That's 858 area code 457-1090. One more time, 858-457-1090. That's our local line. You can also reach us toll-free. The toll-free number is totally packed up right now, but when somebody drops off, we'll get you in on that one. That's 877-792-1090. One more time, that one, 877-792-1090. Not only is Bill Varnay in here going to be answering all your surf fishing questions today, we have got a great prize for one lucky caller at the end of the show today, and that's a complete AFTCO fishing clothing package. It includes the brand new AFTCO performance shorts.
Oh, those are the best shorts in the world.
No question about
yeah.
it.
those things are unbelievable.
They really outdid themselves with their new board shorts.
It's got a charcoal bamboo lining that makes it so comfortable.
Yeah, super comfy. Oh, they're really light and, I don't know what you would call it, stretchy almost, and plier pockets on both sides. Are really, really nice shorts. So you're going to get a pair of those, an AFTCO Performance T-shirt, you know, one of the kind of sun-style shirts that has the SPF built right into the shirt, and a pair of AFTCO fish feet for your boots, where, again, those guys, it seems like AFTCO doesn't come out with a ton of stuff. They just come out with the really, really right stuff. Those AFTCO fish feet are exactly the same. If you've got a pair of extra tufts or any type of deck boots, for that matter, those things are they're a lifesaver.
They're the bomb.
Yeah, that's for sure. So as you can hear, it's going to be a great show, a great prize package for somebody at the end of the show today, and great information with Bill Varnay in here. Again, only line open right now, 858-457-1090. When we come back, we're going to be taking your phone calls. Lots of great information coming your way. You stay tuned. It's Let's Talk Hookup, XX1090.
Down at the firehouse at Fulton, Maine, on the third Sunday in June. It's
sport fishing, not just for dad anymore, thanks to the Dana Wharf Kids Club. Dana Wharf Sport Fishing invites all anglers 12 and under to join the new Kids Club today. Membership includes over $100 of really cool stuff, like two free fishing trips, as well as a free Dana Wharf Kids Club hat or t-shirt. Log on to the website, danawharf.com, or visit them in Dana Point Harbor, the bass capital of the West, and only minutes from the 5 Freeway in Orange County.
When it comes to fishing rods for saltwater, there's just one name you need to know, CalStar. Take, for example, the Graphiter series. It's a true graphite and fiberglass composite rod, the finest it's ever been built. And for anglers seeking traditional performance, durability, and quality at an affordable price, the CalStar West Coast series of rods and blanks are the ones for you. Their master craftsmen bring decades of rod building experience to every rod they make. So if you want your fishing rods to be truly state-of-the-art, I always recommend CalStar at fine tackle stores everywhere.
There's a reason more Southern California fishermen put their faith in Rapala Lures. They catch fish. From traditional Rapala Lures like the Floater, Magnum, and Shad Wrap, to the newest, most innovative lures like the X-Wrap, DT Series, and Twitch and Wrap, Rapala Lures get bit. This time of the year, bait fishing is great, and you'll want to try the Rapala Countdown and DT Series in your favorite colors to catch more bass and halibut in the bay. Try it. You'll be amazed on how well Rapala Lures produce more bites. Stop by your favorite tackle shop or check Rapala.com. And when it comes to world-class saltwater fishing tackle, Williamson Lures is the name to know. Born on the rugged coast of Africa, Williamson has been manufacturing lures for decades that are world-renowned for catching big fish. For those traveling to Baja, mainland Mexico, and beyond, you want to take along a selection of Williamson Lures for your offshore spread. Trolling lures for tuna and marlin, spreader bars and daisy chains, bags and lure accessories. Williamson makes the lures you want to troll. Stop by your local tackle shop or check WilliamsonLures.com.
For Rancho Leonero, here's John Ireland.
We're kind of unique for the fact that I think we're really the last of the old Baja fishing style hotels. It's 1,000 acres altogether, and the hotel's small. It's only a 34-room hotel. We don't aspire to be bigger. We just aspire to be better. We've been working on the ranch continually. You know, I did a $500,000 renovation, upgrading the hotel, the bar. We put in new split air conditioning in rooms 1 through 5. They're like an icebox inside. We did a complete new gymnasium. We've been adding boats and upgrading our boat fleet. We're constantly working on the grounds. And having my daughter down there, she's a gardener, so The grounds and everything is much better. From maintaining the rooms, putting in mirrors, putting in beds. I replaced every bed in the hotel. They're awesome beds. We have the best beds in all of Baja, not just the East Cape. People love the beds. You know, the bedding and the higher quality towels. Just trying to do it a little bit better. 800-334-BAJA. It's a special place. Come down and relax. RanchoLanero.com.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Cook-Off on XX 1090.
Only one line open. You want to get through, talk to Bill Varnay, make a comment, be a part of the show today, 858-457-1090. Have a chance to win that. The complete AFCO fishing clothing ensemble, top-of-the-line fishing clothing from AFCO is up for grabs today on Let's Talk Hookup. And I want to remind you, be sure to check out our website, hookup1090.com. Forgot to mention yesterday that I wrote a story about our great trip up to Whalers Cove Lodge. Wrote a story with photos and a description of that trip. It's up on the front page of our website, hookup1090.com, and it also describes next year's trip, August 13th, which is going to be a great time, absolute prime time for silver salmon, halibut, etc. I hope you can join us on that one because it is a great spot. And we'll have that up there until I get back from my trip today.
Next trip to Alaska.
Dove Island Lodge, which we're looking forward to leaving today and going to be up there with our group of Let's Talk Hookup listeners to that beautiful Dove Island Lodge in Sitka, Alaska. So check that out on our website, hookup1090.com. Great story about Whalers Cove Lodge with photos, the whole deal on the description there. And also, of course, our archives page, our Yamaha Outboards archives page is up. It's up to date. I'm going to try and update it before I get on the plane today with today's show. So check that out on our website. Lots going on our Yamaha Outboards page. You can listen 724 anytime you want to Let's Talk Hookup. So let's go ahead and jump in the phones, Rick.
You got it. Why don't we start it off this morning with Keith, who's calling us from Mission Viejo this morning. Keith, thanks for joining us on Let's Talk Hookup.
Hey, good morning, Pete, Rick, and Bill.
Morning.
Good morning.
Bill, when I'm up here fishing in Huntington, I've had some luck with the artificial, the wild ice, wind shred, catching halibut. When you use artificials, what would you use to catch halibut?
Well, you know, halibut fishing is a great fishery up there. I think anywhere you find a place where there's any type of estuary where or harbor where the water's flowing out in the ocean, you're going to find halibut, and they're going to be feeding there. On artificials, I love to use just about anything that would be shiny. If you looked at a crocodile or something like that, that works great. The Rapala works fantastically, or Rapala, depending on which side of the room you're sitting on. And of course, the Lucky Craft lures work really well. But what I tell everybody, you know, when you think about artificial baits, you want to first think about natural baits. Which baits occur naturally in the area that you're fishing? And then you want to try to match your artificial bait with the colors of the baits that you're finding there. So, for example, if you're finding muted colors like a burnt orange or a brown or an olive, you want to try to stick with lures that are that same type of color. You don't want to go in an area where everything is, you know, orange and use a white or a chartreuse, which would look unnatural in that area. So try to match it with what's occurring there naturally.
Are you on that hard minnow style bait, basically, or you know, fishing Rapalas? is that a steady retrieve, or do you fish it like you would fish a freshwater jerk bait, where you're sweeping the rod into a slack line? How does one typically fish something like that most effectively if somebody like Keith is trying to catch a halibut?
Yeah, you know, like in Keith's case, and whether he's using that or like a drop shot setup, there's going to be a variety of different retrieves that you're going to use, and you're going to want to try to use these different retrieves to find what the fish are biting. So you might start out with a slow retrieve. You might follow it with a fast retrieve. Mm-hmm. You might use a jerk. It's very similar to freshwater bass fishing.
Okay.
All right. That's there you cool. go. Hey, thanks for getting us started here this morning, Keith. Thanks a lot for the call.
All right. How about next up we talk to Mike, who's calling us from Allied Gardens this morning. Hey, Mike, thanks for joining us on the show.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
What's up, Mike?
I heard about Pescador Pete, me and at the Let's Talk Hookup at the Ford show down there.
That's right. Mike wasn't satisfied with you not having a name. That he was going to make his determination.
I'm
to
okay
make
with
that
Pescador
happen.
Pete. Yeah, that's no problem.
What's up, Mike?
Hey, I was calling to ask about with bait. Can you take like ghost shrimp and preserve those, or freeze them, put hooks in them, and freeze them, use them over again, or what are your recommendations on reusing bait, or can you?
Well, you know, that's a good question, Mike. If I was to take ghost shrimp and I would want to freeze them to use later, maybe a week or 2 weeks later, I'd want to do that while they're still alive. I'd want to freeze them alive. You don't want your bait to die, with maybe the exception of an anchovy or sardine, and freeze it. The reason for that is when most surf fish or most baits die, they've been begin to give off an ammonia-like odor. And the fish are very sensitive to that, and they'll know the difference between a fresh bait and one that is not fresh. And maybe the sharks will like it, but most of the surf fish are looking for something that's fresh.
Wow. So frozen bait gives it, you know, so you've got some opportunity with frozen bait, but what about frozen ghost shrimp, that stuff? It might work, but not as good.
It might work, but certainly not as well as the real thing, the fresh bait will work. And you know what I'll do, Mike, is if I go down and get ghost shrimp or I go to the store and pick them up, I'm going to get a bottle of salt water. I'm going to rinse them out probably once a day, keep them in a fairly dry plastic container, and you can keep that in your refrigerator. They'll usually live about 4 days.
Really?
Now,
wow.
If you're as ridiculously into it as I am, you'll get yourself a 5-gallon aquarium, roughly, and fill it about two-thirds the way with salt water. Then you'll put that in your garage inside of a small, like a dorm refrigerator, and they'll last in there about a week and a half.
No kidding.
And that's just because the volume of salt water in there, or because you're actually circulating water? I mean, I'm trying to get a hold of this. You're just putting that aquarium inside the fridge. Is it lasting longer because of the volume of water, or do you actually have it recirculating?
You know, occasionally I'll add a little water to it. Maybe every 3 days I'll take a little out and add some to it. And I will also use a small filter in there, mm-hmm. although that's not as important as other things.
Okay.
What's most important is you want to get that refrigerator to about 54 degrees. That's about the warmest you can have those fridges before they turn off. And because the water is that cold, it slows the metabolism of the creature way down. And because its metabolism is slowed so much down, it really actually firms up and it becomes a fantastic bait. It actually is better over a couple days than it would be if you used it right out of the sand.
But only ghost shrimps, not sand crabs.
That's exactly right.
You can't only do that with sand crabs.
No. So sand crabs are very sensitive to changes in temperature. They live in about a 60 to 70 degree temperature range. So if you put sand crabs in a refrigerator, they'll die in about 20 minutes.
Oh, really? Wow. Okay, so how do you keep your sand crab? That's one of the problems I've had surf fishing is, you know, I have a little bait pouch carry along. How do you keep the sand crabs alive as you're surf fishing?
Well, that's a good question. Surf fishing is really not so hard. If you want to keep them alive for a couple days, you probably have to be a religious person and go to church and say a few prayers because they are hard to keep alive. But when I'm at the beach, I'll just keep them in a waste bait bucket that fits around my waist with a belt, and I'll rinse them out about every hour with fresh, cool salt water, and I'll make sure there's no sand on those crabs whatsoever.
Oh.
I want them as dry, or not as dry, but as sand-free as possible.
Okay.
You
really
don't want to keep them in water as they will drown in just a few minutes in water.
So what's the best bait pouch
to
have?
I'm so surprised by all this. This is awesome information.
Yeah. He's done it.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, tried, true, and tested results. Probably the best thing to keep them in is a plastic box. That's a bait. Alvy makes a bait bucket that fits around your waist and goes
Alvy.
On your
Alvy. A-L-V-I?
A-L-V-E-Y.
E-Y.
From
okay.
Australia.
Okay.
And we have these buckets sent over from Australia. They make their way to Florida, and then they make their way all the way to Huntington Beach, and we sell them on our website.
Oh, you do? So, and now what's your website?
Our website is fishthesurf.com, F-I-S-H-T-H-E. surf.com and if you look under, if you go to Yahoo and you just put Bill Varney surf fishing, a couple pages will come up. You'll be able to find it there.
Okay, fishthesurf.com, exactly. And then of course your book is called Fish the Surf.
My book is Surf Fishing,
Surf Fishing.
The Lightline Revolution, and that was really the introduction, I think, to most everybody of using lightline surf fishing.
And that book is available online as well as other tackle stores, too, right?
It is. It's available at 78 tackle stores. You can get it at Barnes & Noble. It's on Kindle, and you can find it on our website.
Oh, you can get on Kindle, too, huh?
Yes.
Wow.
You sure can.
You're everywhere.
I'm
That's
in the electronic
right.
age now.
Indeed.
That's cool, Bill.
All right. Hey, thanks a lot for the call this morning. Appreciate that very much. All right. Hey, let's get a report from the Central Coast. Mr. Harold Davis, like we promised yesterday, from Davis Boats, has an albacore. Yes, yes. Remember that? Albacore. Yeah, that's the ones with the long fins.
Albacore.
I
remember that. Yeah.
Good morning, Harold.
Hey, Harold.
Good morning. See, we were betting Ricky's reputation on him, and they showed up.
All right.
Sweet. Hard
to believe. But I know there hasn't been many caught in Southern California, but anywhere from Monterey Bay all the way to Washington, it's albacore, albacore, albacore. Out of Half Moon Bay and Monterey Bay at 18 miles, there's a good body of fish out there. most of them in the 15 to 20 pound class, and guys reporting anywhere from 30 to 40 fish if they fish all day, and 15 if they do a half a day. The weather hasn't been too bad. You might want to keep an eye on it, and bait is kind of sketchy. You'll need to get your reports for the bait from Bayside Marine in Santa Cruz or on West Coast Highliners. Those two websites can help you out for the Northern California albacore bite. White sea bass have been showing up a little bit off of Santa Maria. Up until the time that the squid boats took 150 ton of squid, the white sea bass were there, but now they're gone. Halibut fishing has been pretty good all over the place, from Morro Bay all the way up to 10 Mile Beach, just below Bodega Bay. So if you're interested in making a little travel, there's a pretty good array of fish all up and down this coast, guys.
Wow.
Gosh, that's awesome.
That's really awesome. And good to go fishing. Guy, you can get the tropical species on the south side, go up the central coast, get those albacore and other species. Salmon, phenomenal salmon season. Just so much going on.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Man.
Hey, Harold, I know you're on your way. You're at the airport right now on your way to Sitka for our Let's Talk Hookup Davis Boats trip to Dove Island Lodge. You looking forward to that?
Yes, I am. By George, we'll be on the plane in another couple hours, and I will meet you in beautiful Seattle.
Okay, Harold, I'll see you in a few hours. Have safe travels, and see you shortly up in Sitka at Dove Island.
All right. All right. Talk to you guys soon.
See you, Harold.
Thanks for the report. All right, let's go north to south. Let's head south to Rancho Leonero. Mr. John Ireland's calling in. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Peter, Rick, guest.
Hi, John.
What's happening?
Well, you know, it's, the bite's changed around a little bit. It's still very good fishing, but we've got more fish north. It's been north has been pretty devoid of fish for the last month and a half, and now that's picked up. They're picking up blues off the south end of Saravo Island, blues and mixed with sails, and I guess that's where the blues were in the Bisbee last week.
They weren't there in East Cape, right?
No.
Or where you were fishing, anyway.
That was grim. You know, I never win those tournaments anyway, but at least this tournament nobody won, huh? It was, not one qualifying fish. There were a lot of stripers and sails and blues under the 300 pound, but not one over. So, but lots and lots of fish around, and that's been pretty typical of the year, too. South of the striped marlin in the same areas that they have been all season long, so it's been good bill fishing. With the tuna showed back up this week. They've been gone for the last week and a half, and they're north now as well, about 40 miles just straight due north, under the porpoise, all football-sized tuna, you know, 5 to 15-pounders. Limits for everybody getting out on them. We've been having a tough time finding sardines. Sardine has been kind of tough this year. So hoochies and cedar plugs are working best for them, and everybody that are getting on the schools of porpoise are limiting on the tuna. Dorado fishing's good south as well. No real size, you know, the occasional big bull picked up on a marlin lure. Otherwise, the fish there are small as well, 5 to really nothing over 20 pounds, 5 to 20 pounds, I'd say. And but lots of schooling fish, lots around, and those that want to go and fish inside are picking them up. The same problem we're having with the Dorado is with the tuna, too, with the lack of sardine, with a bigger live bait and all that. We're forced to do a lot more trolling with the hoochies and the cedar plugs. That said, everybody's limiting on the Dorado. Inside, big rooster fish as usual, more smaller rooster fish. There's just lots and lots of rooster fish around, both big and small. Very, very good rooster fishing inside like there has been all year. They got the big 50-pounders, and, geez, there's just loads and loads between 10 and 20 pounds all over the beaches. Big pargo as well, big dog-tooth snappers. We've had a real, real good year for the snappers. The 20, 25-pounders are not unusual. We're getting almost one a day. The kayakers are killing them on the pargo. Lots of jacks around inside, too. Good fishing.
So much good fishing, and still great time to prime time East Cape action. You still have spots available at Rancho Leonero, John?
Yeah, we do. We're having a busier year this year, but we sure do have rooms in both August and September. Very good fishing right now.
What about October, my favorite month?
In October, we've got rooms as well, and that really is the hot month. You know, people don't the air is cooled off, so it's very pleasant outside, but the water's still warm, so it's a good time to go fishing on the East Cape.
With as good as that rooster fish fishing is this year, you're just about crazy to not just, you know what, book a quick trip, do the weekend down there, and you'll have an opportunity. It's probably the best rooster fishing. It's certainly the best rooster fishing that I can ever imagine. I'm sure there might have been times way back in the previous where it was this good, but I don't ever remember hearing a time when every person I know, every buddy that I've had that's been down to the ranch comes back and says, oh, yeah, I got a 50-pound rooster. Like it was no big deal.
get on the website and look at the pictures, you know, day after day. And in fact, it's not a good day unless you release a 50-pounder.
Oh, wow.
Awesome, John.
You know, it has been good every year, and every year it seems to get a little bit better, but it's just off the board, the rooster fishing this year.
Wow. Yeah. Well, how do we get a hold of you, John? We want to come down to Rancho Leonero.
Thanks. It's 800-334-2252. Check out our website, RanchoLeonero.com.
All right. Great report.
Thanks, John.
Thanks, and we'll talk to you next week.
You sure will.
All right. Let's go live aboard the Legend. Captain Mike Pritchard's on the line. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, good morning, gang. How you doing?
Great. How's the fishing?
You know, it's been pretty good. It's been pretty good. We've had a couple of stellar days here. We had really good fishing yesterday, first day of our two-day trip. Very, very nice, great fish. I can't stress how important it is if you're coming out on a trip to make sure you have good working tackle. We had a good afternoon hit yesterday for just over 70 fish. Some of the bluefin are up into the 50-pound range. And some of the yellowfin are actually into the 70-pound range. Just giant fish for being this close to home. Real tackle busters, and they really catch you off guard on that 25 and 30 pound. But here a little bit closer today, fishing some bluefin. We still looking for our first stop of the morning. The day before, we had some good bluefin fishing in this area. So we have high hopes, but it's definitely a good time to jump on an open party trip, whether it be a day, day and a half, or 2 day.
Certainly some really good opportunities, too, right now. Like you say, Mike, from just about any trip you're on, there seems to be a good zone of fish to catch with that grade being what's so awesome about the local tuna fishing this year.
Yeah, and having Mike on the boat, too. Now he's now aboard the Legends, been on the XL, Intrepid, all over the place. Lots of experience. Nice to have you aboard the Legend out of C4 Sport Fishing there.
That's a really cool opportunity to come fishing with you, Mike.
Yeah, thank you very much. It's like I said, it's just neat. I mean, we had that last yellowfin that came on the boat yesterday. It was just, you know, crested the 70-pound mark. And I mean, aside from fishing Alejos or Guadalupe, I mean, it's just, where else are you going to go, you know, get on a boat for a couple of days and get a chance like that? I know there's several of that bigger fish caught. There's mixed grade fish. There's fish anywhere from, you know, 12, 15 pounds on up. There's a little bit of yellowtail and dorado on kelp, so... Just, you know, it's just getting going and just getting better. So very, very good time to get on a boat. You can get a hold of us. We do have open party trips coming up through C4 Sport Fishing. We got numbered 619-224-3383. You can check out our website at legendsportfishing.com or Facebook. We do trying to update our Facebook as much as possible with current pictures.
I will give them credit on that. I've been noticing that. We see those updates just about every day of, you know, killer fish from the deck and everything like that. So, guys, you're doing an awesome job, Mike, and congrats on being on the Legend. I know they're very lucky to have such a professional skipper like yourself on there.
Thank you very much. We'll keep in touch with you, and hopefully everything is going well. We'll check back in next weekend.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate that call from the Legend very much. That's a call. 70-pounders!
I know, right? It's on. Hey, as you can hear, we're going to have a great show talking all kinds of great fishing. If you want to get through, the only line available, 858-457-1090. And when we come back, we're going to be taking more of your phone calls, more catch reports, and more with Bill. When we return, it's Let's Talk Hook Up right here on XX 1090.
XEPRS 1090 AM Rosarito, Baja California.
You've made the investment in a boat, and you know how important it is to take good care of it. That's why you need Monsoon Yacht Service. Mark and his staff specialize in taking care of your boat and making it look its best. No matter if it's on a trailer or in a slip, let Monsoon Yacht Service clean and polish your boat to make it look like new. Monsoon Yacht Service also does fiberglass and gel coat repair, custom rigging, and the best detailing you have ever seen. Be proud of your boat again with the help of Monsoon Yacht Service. 619-405-2176 or check monsoonyachtservice.com.
It's big, it's comfortable, and she is beautiful. The state-of-the-art long-range sport fishing vessel, the Independence. Veteran captains Mark Paisano and Paul Strasser built this incredible 112-foot vessel with the most modern technology and luxurious comfort available. Captain Jeff Dubois has helped make the Independence a top-notch operation. Call Independence Sport Fishing at 619-226-6006 or check the availability on spring, summer, and fall trips now at independentsportfishing.com. How would you like to be picked up at your home in the morning and be fishing yellowtail at Cedros Island by the afternoon? Now you can with Cedros Adventures. Experience world-class yellowtail and calico fishing aboard comfortable pongas with local captains that know the island hotspots. Stay in Cedros Adventures' own private waterfront hotel and experience first-class meals and service. With pickups in L.A., Orange, or San Diego County, you hop aboard a scheduled flight to Cedros Island to begin an incredible experience with old-world hospitality and fantastic fishing. Cedros Adventures is a must. Call 619-772-7570 or check cedrosadventures.com for rates and more information. One vessel that really stands out in the San Diego fleet has always been the Pacific Queen. This graceful, smooth-riding 88-foot sport fishing vessel features spacious, air-conditioned sleeping accommodations, RSW fish handling, and lots of room at the rail. Captain Drew Card and the Pacific Queen are back online running one-day and day-and-one-half trips. It's time to go fishing. Be sure to book right now for hot summer trips aboard the Pacific Queen. One day and day and one half trips and more. Call Fisherman's Landing in San Diego or check pacific-queen.com.
Fisherman's Landing has been the choice of sport fishing anglers for decades, with the largest fleet of long-range boats worldwide, complemented by Southern California's finest charter and open party fleet. Now is the time to book your long-range trips and charters, plus half-day trips aboard the Dolphin. Go to fishermanslanding.com and see trip availability and even book your trip online. Stop by or call Fisherman's Landing in San Diego and book now at fishermanslanding.com.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup on Double X 1090.
All right, let's find out what's biting out there.
You got it. It's time for our catch report, and the catch report today is sponsored in part by Power Pro Ultra Strong Braided Spectra Line. On your next fishing trip, be sure to get that Power Pro Advantage, delivering incredible tensile strength. Plus, your knots tie easily, and they hold with Power Pro. Try the new Power Pro Super 8 Slick. It casts like a bullet with reduced line friction, and it's silent as an assassin with a smooth surface that reduces line noise. You can get the new Power Pro Super Slick at your favorite tackle store, or check out powerpro.com. We're going to start off at Dana Wharf Sport Fishing with the man, Captain Chris Pika's on the line. What's up, Pika?
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you guys doing this week?
Doing very, very
fantastic.
Good.
Outstanding. Well, you know, we've had some pretty good days out here. You know, it's been like the tide mostly. You know, you get some water moving, you know, get some clean water, get a nice little pick going at the bass. Get your hands on a little bit of the smaller baits there, and it's really game on. You know, we've been, you know, catching a lot of the calicos in the kelp as well as on some structure. And also, guys, you know, again, been getting a little, some little bites on some sand bass too, you know, picking off some good quality sand bass. And, excuse me. Three-quarter day, guys, Monday on the Dana Pride, got a nice 42-pound halibut that Robert Edwards of Mission Viejo caught. Now, this is funny, a funny, real quick story. I was just talking to my deckhand right before I'm pulling up on this spot, right? And I was telling him how one time we caught a 30-pound halibut, you know, when one guy was reeling up a sand bass, and the halibut came up and ate the sand bass. I just got done with that story. About 10 minutes later, sure enough, this guy, he catches a sand bass, and he's reeling a sand bass, and all of a sudden his rod just bends over, and he, it's game on. And he pulls in this 42-pound halibut.
Whoa. No way. Dude, on a sand bass.
On a sand,
that's crazy.
Oh, God, it was hilarious, guys. You know, also we've been getting some water temps here from 66 to 69-degree water, you know, and get some decent clean streaks coming through once that current picks up. And it's, you know, it's a lot of fun. A lot of fun fishing right now. Your line of lines have been more productive, like I've been saying all summer, for the bass, you know, but you want to bring out another rod you can drop down. You never know. You might hook up with a 42-pound halibut. So you might want to bring out, like, a, you know, a 15, 20-pound stick, as well as, like, a, you know, a 10 to 12-pound rod for the bass. And, excuse me, I'm trying to park the boat on the spot right now. Hey, guys, if you want to hop on a boat here, you can give us a call at Dana Wharf Sport Fishing, and the phone number here is area code 949-496-5794. And don't forget to hop on the Let's Talk Hookup website and get that 30% discount.
Awesome, Pika. Jeez, what a great report, and congrats on that bonus halibut, man. That's awesome, and great information if somebody wants to come fishing with you, and we appreciate a great report, and look forward to talking to you next week.
You guys have a great week.
All right, get park, set up and
yeah,
catch them.
Park that boat.
All right, thanks, Pika. Appreciate that very much. All right, that's as good as it gets, live from the water, like we always get here on Let's Talk Hookup. You might hear from our surf guru, Gundy Gunnison, your compadre there. You fish mm-hmm. with, you ever fish with Gundy?
I haven't fished with Gundy, but we've talked a lot in the past about surf fishing. So we'll get down there.
Between the two of you guys, you're the gurus of Southern California surf fishing.
Well, I think we need to be a team in the contest.
I think so, too. It would be dangerous.
I don't think they stand a chance.
No.
Hey, well, that's going to wrap up our catch report until we hear from Gundy, if we get lucky enough to do so. And that is also sponsored in part by Jen Wren Sport Fishing, the ultimate East Cape fishing experience. Two great boats, a 35-foot twin-diesel Cabo Yachts flybridge and a 31-foot twin-diesel Innovator. They're both fully equipped with top-of-the-line accurate Shimano reels on CalStar rods. So all you need is your hat and your sunscreen. The Jen Wren captains consistently put their customers on fish with pickup at any East Cape resort. So why not book Jen Wren on your next East Cape fishing trip or check out TeamJenWren.com for more information or call Mark Rayer at 310-308-5841. They're great boats at competitive prices. It's Jen Wren Sport Fishing. Let's jump right back into the phones and talk to Bob, who's calling us from Santee this morning. Hi, Bob. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Bob.
Hi, good morning.
So, when you're walking the surf, what are you looking for? What are you looking for when you're looking, like you're walking along, you're looking at the waves, I mean, and there's no visible, like, rocky stuff or anything. What are you looking for to you that makes it look fishy?
That's a fantastic question, Bob. You know, and I think that would be everybody's question, whether it's the first time or the 50th time they've been down there surf fishing. You know, when you walk down to the sand and you look down at the water and you look down the beach one way, it's a couple miles. And you look down the beach the other way, it's a couple miles. It really does bring up the question, where do you want to start? So what we normally will look for is we'll look for really one of three things or all three things. We'll look for jetties. We're going to look for riptides, and we're going to look for the inshore troughs or the inshore holes, and those are the areas that we're going to want to fish in. Now, if you go down to the beach at high tide, it's going to be hard to, you know, you'll probably see a riptide or two, but it'll be difficult to know where the holes and the troughs are. And there's a couple of telltale ways to find those when you're down there. One might be just keep your eye on the swimmers and the surfers, and as they walk into the water, they seem to go down and disappear and come back up again. You can be pretty well assured that right there is where a trough is. But if you're, you know, really serious about surf fishing, you have a favorite beach you like to go to, I always suggest looking at your tide graph, finding out when low tide is. Go down to the beach at low tide, walk the beach, find the holes, find the troughs. Once you find them, turn around, look back up at the cliffs or the area behind you and line those up with something that's permanent there. And obviously, you don't want a motor home. That's going to be gone tomorrow, but something that's permanent. And then come back at high tide and fish those areas. And I think another thing, and especially down in the San Diego area, to look for is because there's a lot of cliffs here, there's a lot of area where you can get a good look over the beach. Go down at low tide, look for the beds of sand crabs. You'll find specific areas at low tide out on the sandbar where those crabs occur, maybe about the size of a car. Line those up on the cliff, and then come back at high tide and cast your bait right on top of those beds of sand crabs. I guarantee you'll catch fish there.
Wow.
That's such good info,
stuff.
Bill.
All right. There you go. You got the potion now, Bob. Go get them.
I haven't done it for many years, but I used to fish Mission Beach a lot and used to catch a lot of big corvina right there off the South Mission Beach jetty with sand crabs. Is there a way to get the sand crabs? Do they have any kind of like scoops or traps? I actually used to use, believe it or not, I used to use my old skin diver's fish bag, and I would just run the metal handle of it, you know, under the sand, and then the netting of it would actually strain out, you know, the, most of the bigger sand crabs.
Well, you know, there's quite a few different ways to catch sand crabs. One would be, you know, to pick up the Promar makes a sand crab rake, and that will allow you to get, you know, 50, 100 at one time if you choose to do that. You can use a sieve. You know, a lot of people will go to a place like the 99-cent store and pick up one of the, and this was a brilliant idea by one of the folks at one of our seminars. They picked up a wash bag, a bag that is like a netting that has a zipper on the top of it. Your wife would probably be familiar with it. And then they'll just take it down to the sand. They'll take it out of their back pocket. They'll unzip it. They'll fill it full of sand and then just rinse it off quickly in the water. The bottom of that bag is going to be full of just the right size of crabs.
Wow.
Great call.
That's
looks like
a,
just a big easy. Mesh bag.
Just a mesh bag and fits right in your back pocket and it's very light and easy to use.
Good call.
Just stuff a bunch of sand in there and sift it all out and there you go.
But then you're ready to go.
But if you're really going for it, you like that sand crab rake?
Yes, I love the rake because the rake allows me to, you know, providing crabbing is good to get 50 or 100 crabs at one time, to be able to pick through them to find the right size and the right consistency.
Now, Gundy always talks about soft shell crabs. What's your take on that?
You know, the soft shell crab is normally the premier sand crab, but you know, there are different consistencies of crabs from their shell standpoint. What I normally look for is a crab whose shell is the consistency of like a pop can or a beer can. You know how you can push in a can with your thumb? That's about the consistency you want with a sand crab. If it's too hard, that may not be what they're eating. And if it's really, really soft, they're almost opaque when they're soft, they're going to kind of mush up and bunch up on your hook. So that medium consistency to soft is definitely the way to go.
Size? What's the best size?
You know, it depends. I would say normally the best size would maybe be around the size of a dime to maybe a quarter. But once again, it boils down to what are the fish feeding on in that area. If you go to an area that all the crabs are the size of the nail on your little finger, most likely that's what they're eating. So if in that group you find 1,000 that are that size and 5 that are the size of a half dollar, they probably won't eat those big ones because they're really familiar with the smaller ones.
All right. Good tips. Hey, thanks a lot for the call this morning.
All right. Next up, why don't we talk to Jeffrey, who's calling us from Congress, Arizona this morning. Hi, Jeffrey. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Bill, guys. I have a comment and I have a tip and then I have a question. A long time ago, the guys down in Mexico told me that the waves will help you, and it took me a long time to understand it. But when you're pulling in, or if you get tangled up in rocks, or better yet, there's weeds, if you wait for the pressure of the waves to help pull you in, sometimes you can get the fish out. And the second question, since I'm not a very good fisherman, I'm stuck into the rocks instead of the sandy areas, what kind of a reel would you suggest for me to use out there to fish there, because you got to always worry about getting hung up in a rock, and it's hard to have an educated thumb.
That's a good question, Jeffrey. Well, you know, this is how I would always think about rocks, and I think a lot of the things we do in fishing and in surf fishing and maybe in life in general is we overthink things, and we really have to not think so hard and try to make it simpler. And let me give you an example of that. A lot of times I love fishing from a jetty. Now, when I was a kid, I used to think, you know, I'm going to go to the end of that jetty. I'm going to take my 12-foot Calcutta. I used to have a 12-foot Calcutta. It had a Jigmaster on it, had 25-pound test on there, had about a 4-ounce sinker. I would cast that thing a mile out there. You know, I'd look at the barge out there, and I think, if I could cast out by that barge, I'd really catch a big fish. But little did I know, really all the fish were not only close to the jetty, many of the biggest fish, and that's how they got big, live in the jetty themselves. The slime on their sides allows them to actually back in to the jetty, and because of their shape, and they'll sit underneath the water right on the edge of those rocks or in those rocks and feed. So rather than casting a long way out from the jetty, I'll actually drop the bait right in the water where it joins the jetty, so where the sand meets the jetty, and allow the waves to push the bait in and out in a natural movement. Now, if I did that in general, I'd be snagged every single time. So what I learned is if I downsize my sinker to about a quarter ounce, very infrequently do I get snagged, and if I do, it's really easy to get it out. So the first thing you want to do is, if you're fishing around rocks, you want to shorten your leader, go to about a 12-inch leader. You want to downsize your sinker. And the next thing is, once you get a bite, you want to reel down and lift that fish up. It's going to take your bait and go right into the rocks there. So reel-wise, you don't need a big reel to stay out of those rocks. You really want to think a lot more in the neighborhood of your rigging.
There you go. Thanks a lot for the phone call this morning.
When we come back, we got another full hour of this great information coming your way. You stay tuned. More catch reports, more surf fishing information. You stay tuned. It's Let's Talk Hookup, XX 1090.
I'm the big boss bass.